Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out past shows or to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. You know, one of the common things we hear from people is what they want to do more, save more, invest more, and build more wealth, but life keeps getting in the way. The bills pile up, inflation has made everyday expenses more expensive, and it can start to feel like you're working harder just to stay in the same place. I think that frustration is real, but here's what I want you to hear today. Getting ahead financially doesn't always require dramatic change. Sometimes it's a series of smaller decisions made consistently over time. And today we're going to walk through 10 of them. So the survey response data and other information we'll be sharing throughout the show today is from a U.S. News and World Report article that headlines 10 ways to grow your assets in 2026. These are 10 practical strategies for growing your assets in 2026 that don't require a windfall, a big promotion, or a perfect economy, just more intent and willingness to make more and fewer adjustments. So let me bring in my co-host Jacqueline to help us work through these. Good to have you here today, Jacqueline.
Well, Amanda, always glad to be here. I think that this is exactly the kind of conversation that people need right now. You know, 10 strategies, it sounds like a lot, but I have a feeling some of these are going to be more accessible than really people expect. So where do we start?
So we start at the foundation, and the foundation is your spending. So strategy number is minimizing spending waste. I know that doesn't sound glamorous here, but it matters more than people actually give you credit for, because every dollar you spend on something that doesn't really matter to you is a dollar that isn't being saved or invested for something that does. So the tool here is the budget, but not a rigid, restrictive one. Think of one that is flexible, personalized spending plan, which one that reflects your actual life, your actual priorities. When you have that clear, decisions become very easy. So do I really use all five of those in streaming those services? Or how many times a week while I'm eating out? Or is that number actually making me happy? A good budget surfaces those questions and helps you put that in perspective when actually looking at them honestly. So even modest adjustments add up here. So for example, cutting $200 a month in unnecessary spending is $2,400 a year that could be directed towards savings, debts, or even investments.
Well, and I'd imagine that, you know, cutting spending may feel even more impactful when you're also carrying high interest debt, Amanda, because that debt is actively working against you.
This is exactly right. So strategy number two is reducing high interest debt. And we believe this one can be a game changer here. So here's a useful way to actually think about it. Historically, the stock market has averaged around 7% annually over the long term through past performance, never guaranteed future results. But if you're carrying a debt at 20% or 25% interest, which isn't uncommon with credit cards, paying that down is like locking in a 20% return with none of the market ups and downs. That's actually hard to be anywhere else you look at it. So there's a few paths for tackling high interest debt. First, you can try negotiating a lower rate directly with your lender. If you have a solid payment history, they may work with you here, and it doesn't actually cost you anything. Second, a 0% balance transfer card can actually help you eliminate interest entirely during an introductory period, as long as you pay that balance down before the promotional rate expires. And finally, a debt consolidation loan can actually help you repackage multiple debts into a single lower fixed rate payment. None of this here is actually a magic solution, but all of them can lower what your debt costs you over time and free up more cash to save and invest.
Well, really, we're working to help build the foundation by cutting the waste, minimizing the high cost debt. What about the other side of the equation here? Can someone or people actually move the needle on income, Amanda?
They can, and that's strategy number 3. So maximizing your income. This one has a different flavor to it. So the first is probably the most overlooked, which is simply asking for a raise. If you haven't had a meaningful pay increase in a while and you believe your contributions weren't one, it may be time to have that conversation. So most people never ask. And in a lot of cases, the answer could be yes. So beyond that, the economy has become a little bit more easier than ever to generate additional income on your own schedule. So driving for a rideshare service, doing food delivery, walking dogs, and renting out a spare room aren't glamorous, but they're real income. And if you treat that extra money with discipline by sending it straight into savings or debt repayment, even a temporary boost can have a lasting impact on your financial picture. So the key is intent. So extra income that just blends into your regular spending doesn't move the needle, but extra money that gets earmarked for a specific goal, that's a way that you can actually accelerate.
Well, that's a great distinction, Amanda. And I think automation is the thing that makes a lot of these strategies stick, right? I mean, otherwise it's too easy for the money to just disappear.
That's right. So that actually leads us into strategy number 4. So automating your savings. So the behavior science here is really clear. So when savings requires a decision every month, people save less. When it's automatic, they save more, almost without notice. So setting up a recurring transfer from your checking account to a savings or investment account means that money is gone before you actually spend it. It moves fractionally. So technology has made it even easier here. So there are personal finance apps that can actually track your spending. It flags problem areas and help you set up savings targets. There are platforms that offer automatic portfolio management so that you actually don't need to be an experienced investor to get started. And increasingly, AI-powered tools can provide market insights and portfolio analysis that used to be available only to people with significant assets. So if you're not already automating this service, at least some of your savings, I think this could be one of the highest impact changes that you can make today.
Well, now, Amanda, before we move on to investing strategies, there's something I think is really foundational that we should make sure we cover, and that's protecting yourself from the unexpected.
That's perfect timing. And strategy number 5 is building an emergency fund. So here's why this belongs in the wealth building conversation. Without an emergency fund, you're one of the unexpected expenses away from dwindling your plan down. So a car breaks down, a medical bill arrives, you lose your job, you don't have cash set aside to handle it, you may end up pulling money out of your investments, possibly at a loss, and going deeper into debt. Either way, you're taking a step backwards. So consider targeting at least 3 months of unexpected expenses. Figure out what you truly need each month at the bare minimum of things like housing, food, transportation, utilities, and multiply that by 3. If you determine that $2,500 a month covers the basics, your target is $7,500. That's your floor. So where you keep it actually matters too. So a high yield savings account is one choice. Your money stays fully accessible. It earns a solid rate of return in today's rate economy. And there's no penalty for taking it out when you actually need it. It's a safety net that actually works for you while it's sitting there.
Well, absolutely. Well, Amanda, before we keep going or go further, let's give out your contact information.
Of course. So if today's conversation makes you think about where you actually stand financially right now and how you may be able to change your strategy before 2026 ends, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us at our website at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net to set up a complimentary consultation. We're here to help you through these exact questions just like this.
Well, thank you, Amanda. Now, we've been walking through 10 strategies for growing your assets in 2026, and we're right about at the halfway mark. So let's keep the momentum going.
So let's do it. So strategy number 6 is taking advantage of high yield certificates of deposit or CDs. So once you have the money set aside that you won't need for a year or two, a high yield CD could be ideal place for you. So you lock in a fixed rate, the return is guaranteed, and here's something people don't always think about, that money is out of reach. So for people who might be tempted to actually dip into their savings for something that isn't an emergency, that separation can actually come into this scenario. So for example, if you put some numbers on it, if you put $10,000 in a 24-month CD at a 4% rate of return, you'd earn $800 by simply setting it aside for 2 years. You lock in a fixed rate guaranteed by an issuing bank with no market and no volatility risk. So one thing to actually keep in mind here is there's typically an early withdrawal penalty if you redeem that CD before it actually matures, which is usually equal to about 3 months of interest. So you want to be confident you actually don't need those funds in the near term. But for a defined goal with a clear timeline, like saving for a home down payment or a major purchase, a CD can actually be an appropriate fit here.
Well, that's a nice low drama option for people who want their money to work without worrying about market swings. What about for longer term goals? I mean, where do you want some market exposure, Amanda?
So that's where strategy 7 comes in. So target date funds. If you want to invest for the long term, especially for retirement, and you don't want to spend a lot of your time management in portfolios, a target date fund may be worth something to look at. So these are mutual funds that hold a mix of stocks, bonds, and cash. But what this unique mix up actually does is automatically adjust over time. So becoming more conservative as you actually get closer to that target retirement date. So in your 30s and 40s, that fund may be weighted more heavily towards stocks. As you approach retirement, actually shifts towards bonds and more stable assets to help protect what you've actually built. So you can hold on to target funds in a tax advantage retirement account, like an IRA or 401k, or in a taxable brokerage account if you have a shorter term goal in mind. So the approach here is simplicity. So you actually pick a fund that aligns with your retirement year, contribute regularly, and let that fund handle the rebalancing. It's not the most customized option, but for a lot of people, it can actually generally be effective, especially compared to doing nothing or making emotional-driven investment decisions. Sometimes the best thing you can do is actually get out of your own way.
Well, I love that, Amanda. And speaking of retirement accounts, let's talk about maxing them out, because I think a lot of people don't realize how much they're allowed to contribute.
So strategy number 8 is maximizing your retirement contributions, and it's one of the most powerful tools actually on this list. So in 2026, the IRA allows you to contribute up to $24,500 of your salary to a 401k. That's meaningful numbers, and the contribution actually comes right out of your paycheck pre-tax, which lowers your taxable income for the year. So you're building your retirement savings and actually reducing your tax bill all at the same time. So now let's just say if you're 50 or older, there's a catch-up provision that actually lets your contribution add an additional $8,000 on the top of that. So bringing that total up to $32,500. And if you happen to be between the ages of 60 and 63, there's a special enhancement catch-up that allows an additional $11,250 above the actual baseline. So these provisions exist specifically to help people who are in that home stretch of their working years to build up their nest egg a little bit faster. And if your employer offers a matching contributions, consider taking it, all of it. So an employer match is an additional compensation. So if your employer matches 3% of your salary and you're not contributing at least 3% into your 401k, you're leaving money on the table and that your employer would have just handed you. That match actually gets invested and compounds right alongside your own contributions.
Well, the compounding piece is so important, Amanda, and I think that connects well to our next strategy here, which is about keeping more of what you earn.
That's right. So strategy number 9 is actually minimizing your tax liability, and it's easier to overlook than the others because it tends to happen in the background, but it can generally move the needle. So one of the most effective tools here is the healthcare savings plan, or HSA. If you're enrolled in a qualified high deductible health plan, you can actually contribute to the HSA or on a pre-tax basis. So those funds grow tax deferred and withdrawals or qualified medical expenses are actually tax free. That's a triple tax advantage that are few other accounts can actually match. And unlike a flexible spending account, the money rolls over year to year and it doesn't disappear if you don't use it. So beyond HSAs, it's actually worth making sure you're claiming all the deductions and credits you're entitled to when you actually file your return. So common overlooked areas that actually credit are like summer camp expenses. Savers credit designated specifically to reward people who contribute to retirement accounts, deductions for expenses related to freelance or side gig work, and home office deductions for people who work from home. So these may seem small and individual, but they can actually add up and they can result in a meaningful lower tax bill. So if you're not working with a tax professional, it may be worth at least consulting to find out what you might be missing.
Well, consulting, I mean, that's a nice bridge to your final strategy here, Amanda.
So strategy number 10 is actually considering a professional guidance. And I want to spend a moment on this one because I think it's more accessible than people actually realize. So an experienced financial services professional can help you across the full picture here. So building a tax strategy, strategically looking at retirement contributions, reviewing your investment allocation, and helping you make appropriate decisions during major life transformations. This could mean navigating a divorce, managing an inheritance, selling a business, or planning for retirement. These are moments that are having someone in your corner who knows your full situation could help you avoid mistakes and can help you make the most of what you actually build here. So professional guidance isn't just about wealth. So if you have a specific goal you're actually working towards, if your financial situation has gotten more complex, or if you have simply want to restructure a plan and want a trusted resource to help you guide through that and execute it, that's when working with an advisor could actually make a real difference. So the key is to find someone who works and takes the time to understand your strategy and your goals and who is committed to helping you work towards them and reaching them. That relationship is actually built on trust and communication. It often is what separates people who feel confident about their financial future from those who are just hoping things actually work out.
Well, 10 strategies and every single one of them is actionable. I think what I appreciate most about this list is that you don't have to do all 10 at once. You know, you can start where you are, Amanda.
That's exactly right. And that's right. That's the right takeaway. So pick one or two that's reasonably most and what relates more to you. Maybe that's getting a budget in place. Maybe it's finally building that emergency fund. Maybe it's making sure you're capturing your full employer match. Whatever it is, start there. Build that habit and then add on to it. Wealth isn't usually built in one big moment. We think it's built in several small decisions, maybe consistently over a long period of time. And that's actually good news because it means everyone, or almost everyone, has the ability to make meaningful progress if they're willing to be intentful about it. So If you'd like to talk through some of these strategies and figure out which one makes the most sense for your specific situation, that's exactly what we're here for. So visit my website at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net or give us a call at 919-342-7715. We'd love to help you take that next step with more clarity and confidence.
Well, thank you, Amanda, for a great episode. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today on Money Mastery with our host, Amanda Mangum.
Join us soon on another episode of Money Mastery.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.